Part 13, Chapter 2. Robert the Fox had his old cape thrown over his anti-radiation battle dress. His grizzled hair was singed on one side. His face was composed, but there was a hint of concern. He grabbed Johnny's wrist and gave it a hearty shake of welcome. Johnny looked at the singed hair.
How are casualties?
Late,
said Robert the Fox.
Surprisingly late. They don't want to show themselves to us. It impeded their aim. And it's like fighting in a rainstorm. Look, you're not wearing anti-radiation.
That water is washing radiation away as fast as you fire it in. I have something to do. There's no breathe gas in that drone. I don't need radiation cover.
Johnny, can't that drone wait until the mine sites have been flattened? It will take the drone up to 18 hours to get where it's going overseas. We tracked it on the search equipment of this plane, which is to say we tracked the escort. The drone has wave cancellers.
Johnny opened the plane door. It was all ready. There was bread and meat on the seat. An old woman popped up beside him and handed him a cup of steaming herb tea that smelled suspiciously of whiskey. When he looked at her, questioning her presence in this battle zone, she said,
"They can't eat bullets!"
and laughed a cackling laugh. Robert's hand was detaining him.
We still have radio silence successfully in.
They had agreed to give the remote mine site attack pilots 12 hours of radio silence to let them finish off the outlying areas with total surprise, if possible.
That's more than they need. We can shorten it and they can converge on that drone.
It's headed for Scotland,
said Johnny.
That's its first stop.
I know.
Johnny finished off the hot drink and started to climb into the plane. The detaining hand again.
There's something I've got to tell you.
When Johnny had stopped to listen, he continued.
We may not have hit Cyclo.
I know.
That means that we may need all the planes and equipment we can get here. They're in hangars under us. We don't have men enough to take the place by assault, and we mustn't destroy it.
You can work this out with Glen Cannon. You'll have a pilot in half an hour or so. You can bash it in from the air.
He made to get into the plane, and again, Robert's hand was on his sleeve.
We had a funny thing happen just before sunset. A tank surrendered.
Johnny stepped back onto the ground. He might as well spend this time getting into the warm clothing needed at high altitudes, and he proceeded to do so.
Go on.
Robert took a deep breath, but before he went on, a runner came up to tell him the historian had delivered a new load of ammunition from the academy. Robert told him to see it was passed out. The blast fire needles continued to lash overhead in the now quite dark night.
The tank is a Bashar way to glory. It's down there at the other end of the ravine. Oh, don't be alarmed. It's in our hands. It came out of the garage port and came right straight toward us. We hit it with bazookas and they didn't even dent it. But it didn't fire back. It went right straight down to the end of the ravine there and threw out an intercom through an atmosphere lock and said it wanted to talk to the Hawkner leader. It wanted a guarantee of safety in return for cooperation.
Johnny was getting into the warm boots.
Well, go on.
It's a kind of weird scene,
continued Robert.
When they got a safety guarantee, they came out of the tank. They said they were the Chamco brothers. We got interrogation going. They said they knew Terrell had sold out. It seems that there was a mine manager named Char, a friend of theirs, who turned up missing at the firing. Well, this Char told the Chamco brothers that there'd been a murder. That Terrell had murdered the head of the planet so he could appoint a new planet head named Kerr. And that Kerr, this afternoon, had denied them ammunition for the tank. The Chamcos claim Terrell and Kerr have sold out to some race called the Hawkners of Duraleb, and even launched the drone to wipe out the other mine sites.
I suppose it's mostly correct, except the parts about the Hawkners and the drone. The Cyclos have a lot of enemies, but according to their histories, they defeated the Hawkners a couple of hundred years ago. Listen, Sir Robert, in all due respect, I've got to be going.
There's more. They haven't got tank and plane fuel in there, and we've cut down four sorties of theirs to get to the fuel and ammunition dump way over there. But they have plenty of blast rifle ammunition. We don't have men enough for an assault.
What else? Sounds like good news, not bad.
Well, it's not all good news. It seems there's 16 levels of compound under us. Each level stretches for acres. Quarters, shops, garages, hangars, offices, workrooms, libraries, supply warehouses.
I didn't know it was that much, but that's not bad news either.
Wait. If that thing were to be hit with radiation, this whole assault force would be blown to bits. We're fighting on a loaded bomb. We must save those planes and equipment if we have to defend Earth. And we need them for reconstruction if we really did blow up Cyclo.
You'll have air support shortly. You can withdraw...
Well, the Chamco brothers say they know what will happen in there. That we'll flood the place with air. They said they know how us Hawkners took the Duraleb system back. They say there aren't enough breathe gas masks and vials, but the recirculating system has plenty. These Chamco brothers are design and maintenance engineers. They promised to help us if we paid them. They say the whole planet has been on half pay and no bonuses, and they don't want to be killed in an air flood, as they called it.
Johnny had on the warm clothing and was finishing a sandwich of oat bread and dried venison.
Sir Robert, as soon as you get air support, you can plan something...
The Chamco brothers told us the breathe gas recirculating system was exterior to the base and air-cooled, and they were tricked into admitting all one had to do was shoot up the intake pipes from the cooling system and the pumps would fill the whole compound with air.
You got it all solved?
Yes, but we need the intakes shot up at long range from the air.
That shouldn't take long, as soon as Glenn Cannon gets here.
Well, I think you ought to do it. It's not very dangerous, and if you fire from about a half mile off...
I can do that as I take off.
But you should come back down here to verify.
Suddenly, Johnny knew what Robert was up to. Robert the Fox was going to wait until all planes could converge on that drone. And that was taking a chance. The planes to other mine sites might be in trouble themselves.
Sir Robert... Are you trying to keep me from making a single-handed attack on that drone?
The veteran spread his hands.
Johnny, laddie, you've done too much already to get yourself killed now!
His eyes were pleading. Johnny swung up into the plane.
Then I'm coming with you!
You're going to stay right here and direct this assault.
A mine car ricocheted into the end of the ravine and came to a halt. The driver grabbed an assault rifle and ran up to the lines to get back into the battle. Glenn Cannon stepped down and limped over to them.
Damn,
said Robert the Fox.
What's the matter?
Said Glenn Cannon, a bit taken aback with the greeting.
I'm all right. If somebody will tape up my ribs and put something around this ankle, I can fly.
Robert the Fox put an arm around Glenn Cannon's shoulder.
It was something else. I'm glad you got back alive. We've got a job for you. A lot of them, in fact. The sniper's on the old Chinko quarters.
Goodbye, Sir Robert,
Johnny said, and closed the door.
Good luck,
said Robert, sadly. He knew Johnny would suicide crash the drone if everything else failed. He didn't expect to see him again. Then he turned and began to issue orders to two waiting runners. He had a little trouble seeing them. Johnny sent the plane soaring out of the ravine, too fast to be spotted and hit, and was on his way to attempt something the combined military powers of Earth had failed to do. And on his way to do it, all alone. Waiting until the drone was, what, 5 hours from Scotland, was cutting it a bit close. If attacks on it did succeed, they might blow gas canisters, and a freak wind could wipe out Scotland and Sweden as well. There was much to be said for attack in force, but even that guaranteed no success. And no one had ever tried a head-on smash at the drone, with a Cyclo battle plane traveling at maximum with all guns blazing at the moment of collision. As a last resort, that would destroy almost anything. He hadn't said anything about it to Sir Robert. Surely, the old man hadn't guessed it.